this one verse, Matthew 5:13. If you're able, go ahead and stand if you would. If it's too much on you physically, then just go ahead and remain seated. Matthew 5:13, one verse. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out, to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the salt of the earth. The Lord is referring to you and I,
right,
born again people. We are the salt of the earth. And let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity, but we pray that you would help us now. Father, I'm just a man and not very good into that. So, Father, I pray that you would forgive me of all my sins, all my transgressions. I pray, Lord, that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit and just take charge of the remainder of this service. Lord, we pray that your Spirit would have free reigns amongst the congregation. And, Lord, we pray that you would help me to say what you want me to say and refrain from saying that which you do not wish me to say. And I pray, Father, that this message would be a message that would help somebody in this room tonight to get closer to you. And I pray to be an encouragement to all. And we pray, God, most of all, Lord, I pray, please, exalt the Lord Jesus Christ in this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, go ahead and be seated. If you've been saved for any amount of time, or if you've been preaching for any amount of time, you've preached a message on salty Christians. You've heard a message about this. How many of you ever heard this preached before? Oh, come on. Well, yeah, okay, all right. I thought so. Okay, wake up over there. Yes, this is a very common portion of scriptures. And I don't know about you, but you know those soft dough pretzels? The one with that thick, big, chunky sea salt? Oh, I love those things, amen. You know why? Because they have salt on them. Salt adds flavor, adds savor to it. And by the way, parents, I know that your kids don't like eating ramen noodles, but if you add a little more salt to them, it tastes better, amen? Yeah. That's some good preaching right there, amen? I'm sorry, that's God. We better want somebody out here. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, Jesus is comparing us to salt, is what he's saying here. We've been compared to a lot of things in the Word of God, and Jesus used illustrations, and all the time he's doing stuff like this, and parables as well. And he wants us to take a look at some things that salt and we have in common, or should have in common, put it that way. Salt, first, number one, salt is a preserving power. I was just joking about the ramen noodles. They don't need anything, but they're delicious the way they are, amen? They don't need more salt added to them. But how many of you like jerky? Oh, yeah, you know what? And what do you do when you make jerky? You add salt. Okay. You know, you can actually preserve meat without the other stuff just by salting it. Salt will have a preserving power. And Christians have a preserving power as well. And you think about it a moment. My Bible says that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is reproach to many people. Think about that a second. Righteousness is what exalts us. Folks, America is a powerful country, not because we had more ICBMs than anyone else, but because our founding was based upon Christ.
That's right.
And Jesus was our God. And if you go through, look at the founders, we were designed to be a uniquely Christian nation that would exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And we did that for years and years and years and years. And then we're not doing that so much anymore,
right,
are we?
Right.
We are coasting on the past.
Right.
Folks, you don't have to look. Powerful countries have been defeated before.
Right.
And one night, mighty Babylon fell.
Right.
One night, mighty Babylon fell.
Yeah.
And so, Christians reserve, and I'm not just talking about military might now, I'm talking about a nation that will stand for God, a nation that will preach out against what we do so common in this land anymore is abortion and homosexuality and sending missionaries around the world and funding missionary projects. And God would, think about it, God would have spared Sodom and Gomorrah if there would have been just how many righteous people? Ten. And two, well, there's five cities in the plains actually. All those cities, I don't know how many thousands of people that would have been spared if God could have found 10 righteous people. There wasn't enough salt in Sodom and Gomorrah.
Wow.
It wasn't that it was preserving power, because the Christians weren't, either they weren't, well, we know some of them weren't living like it, because when Lot went around trying to get his sons-in-laws to join him and to leave town and avoid, escape the destruction, they laughed at him, they mocked at him.
Right.
Righteous living and the prayers of saints have been what has preserved this nation. Now, how long God continues to spare our country, nobody can say.
Right.
We have sinned mightily against God as a nation. But let me tell you, you can rest assured that Christians have been the influence that has held back this nation from becoming totally satanic.
Amen. Amen.
Think what happens to this world at the rapture.
Amen.
When all the Christians leave. And then look and see what happens. I'm not talking about the natural disasters. I'm talking about the people who are being slaughtered on this earth. It's going to be terrible, 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 terrible. As long as there are Christians who are living right, there is a preserving power. That's what salt does. That's what we should be like. Salt, like Christians, has a purifying effect. Elijah cleansed the waters of Jericho with salt. You know, in ancient times, newborn babies were washed in salt. It would cleanse them and give their skin a firmness.
Wow.
Now, salt in a wound will cleanse it. It's going to burn a little bit. Kind of like the wounds of a friend. It's going to burn a little bit, but it will help. It will cleanse. And we as Christians ought to have a cleansing effect on this world around us. People ought to behave differently when we're around. You know, first couple of times I walked up to water cooler at work and people stopped talking. Kind of set me back. Then I figured out why.
Yes, sir.
They didn't want me to hear what they were saying. And even just a couple of weeks ago, Faye and I was looking for a house to rent and called this lady up out in the country and had a place on the Vale, and we were talking about blah, blah, all that kind of stuff. And she said, well, I want you to know, you know, I want to find a little bit about you, but I want you to know what we have out here. And I said, well, we're looking for a rural lifestyle. Oh, good. We want somebody rural. And she kind of paused and she said, now, I have to ask you, so, you guys don't smoke, do you? I go, no, man, we don't smoke. I'd be one better. We don't drink either. She says, you don't smoke or drink? I said, no, I'm a retired pastor. You know, her whole conversation changed, her demeanor. She got to a point when she started to use a certain word that means a structure to hold back a dam, only hold back water. Okay. Dam's a structure to hold back water. That's not a swear word. It's the other one. And she was right in the middle. And so she said something that ends in ang, you know, rank or bang, and starts, you know, like you get it, I don't say it, because that offends people too. But she paused and corrected her speech. She never met me, but she knew we were Christians. And we ought to have a cleansing power on this world.
That's right.
But you know, you're not going to have preserving power if you hide your Christianity. You're not going to have preserving power if you're not living your Christianity. You're not going to have preserving power a cleansing power if we're not living right. I'm not talking about a show-off kind of Christianity.
That's right.
That's what the Pharisees did. And we're not talking about that kind of thing. We're talking about authentic Christianity. So just ask yourself tonight, are you an authentic Christian? Now, I'm not saying you're not saved, okay? We all get backslidden from time to time. We all do things that we shouldn't do. We have regrets in life. We, you know, we sin, go on and on and on. I'm the first to admit that. But are you authentic? In other words, are you living your Christianity? Or do you wear your Christianity? There's a big difference between wearing and living your Christianity. You know, salt also brings out the best. It brings out the best. Salt adds flavor to food. It intensifies the flavor. And we ought to live our lives in such a way as to bring out the best in those around us. Kind of like being a good friend, I mentioned this morning, where we want to bring out the best in our friends. And we need to bring out the best in others. That just boils down to, does our life reflect Jesus Christ? Is it an accurate reflection of Jesus? Oh, we're not going to be like Jesus 100%. He was God, he was perfect. You know, you're not going to walk on water, you're not going to you know, I very, very much doubt you're going to raise the dead and, you know, this sort of thing, and hold back the seas, change the weather, But we can have the compassion of Christ.
Amen.
We can have the love of Christ. That's a hard one. But we can with his help. So we ought to live our lives in such a way to bring out the best in our friends, the best in people around us. In Philippians, if you would, chapter 1. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. What's it saying? Only let your conversation, that would be your manner of life. Is your manner of life becoming to the gospel of Christ? In other words, do people want to be saved or get saved who are around you, who know you, who see your life? Or does your lifestyle, God forbid, to be one of those Christians who, because of your lifestyle, they don't want to come to church?
Ooh.
You've all heard about, you know, I wouldn't come to church, but all the, except for all the hypocrites, right? You've heard that before. Well, I just tell them, well, there's plenty of room for one more, come on. Everybody's a hypocrite to some degree, you understand that, right? But there are those who seem to make it a practice. Our lifestyle should encourage people, woo people, win people to faith in Christ. Now, I am not standing up here preaching lifestyle evangelism, whereas that means you don't witness, you just live, and because you live a certain way, people are going to get saved. No, you live right, you live the Christian life, and you witness to people. You do both, okay? We have to have a lifestyle that backs up of what we preach. Is our life reflective of Christ? Does our salt bring out the best in those around us? You know, salt also has it's going to seem contrary. It has a preserving power. But you know, salt also has a poisoning power. The reason salt can preserve meat is that bacteria can't grow in it. And so there is a poisoning effect. In Judges chapter 9, in another place, and you read history, and the Romans were notorious for this, and other nations were notorious for this. But in Judges 9, Abimelech captured a city, and he sold the land and the field with salt. Why? Because crops couldn't be grown in that salty field anymore. Now, praise the Lord, we live down here in Arizona. But have you ever seen a car from Minnesota that's been in Minnesota for 3 or 4 or 5 winters? Illinois? Someplace where they salt the roads, and you see these pickup trucks going down, and you wonder how the bed stays on, and you know, the whole fender well's rusted out of it. It's because of the salt. It has that corrosive effect. Now, that's not all a bad quality. Radiation kills living souls, right? That's a bad thing. But if the radiation is killing cancer cells, that's a good thing. So we can see we can have the poisoning effect and the preserving effect at the same time. It just has to be targeted. We, a Christian's life, ought to be pure poison to anger. Now, I don't know why I have a bad temper.
Yeah.
It ought to be pure poison to lust.
Yes, sir.
It'll be pure poison to envy, to fighting, poison to loose living, poison to hate, poison to malice, poison to every manner of evil. Paul said this, did he not? I die daily. Now, he didn't die in Christ's resurrection every day. He's talking about he died to self. He died to his self-will. And true Christianity ought to be poison to our own self-will, in that we ought to have no will but his. Christianity ought to have a poisoning effect on our own sin, as well as those around us. We ought to make people uncomfortable.
Yes,
Well, you don't hear that preached, do you?
Amen.
We ought to make people uncomfortable when they are sinning. Proverbs 29:27. Proverbs 29:27. In a second, turn there. I want you to see this for yourself, and you're going to think I'm a heretic.
Yeah.
Or you're going to think I'm a mean person. But this is the word of God. And in God's book of wisdom, Proverbs 29:27, the Lord said this: an unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked. Who knows what abomination means? Shout it out. Come on, somebody else. What's abomination?
Disgusting.
Disgusting.
Disgusting. God hates.
What God hates, absolutely. God hates something, it is an abomination. How in the world do people use the Bible to say that homosexuality is okay when God calls it an abomination? Something that God greatly detests. It sickens God. It makes you want to stop. Vomit. We have ladies.
Here we go.
It makes God want to vomit. Now this is what the scripture said. An unjust man is an abomination to the just. And he, it doesn't say Christ, it doesn't say God, he, that's you and me, and he that is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked.
Wow.
Folks, people are not going to like us who are set on a wicked course if we are living a righteous life.
Right.
Salt also has this tendency to burn. You ever get salt in the wound? You ever get salt in your eyes?
Man.
And Christianity ought to be something that the world greatly detests. They hate us. What did they do to our master? They gave him a parade on Sunday, and on Wednesday they killed him.
They did.
Think about that. They crucified Christ. They didn't do it because they loved him.
Right.
Now, if I said Wednesday, don't take offense. Scripture I can prove Good Friday, it doesn't work out. It's not 72 hours between Friday and Sunday morning. I can show you from the scripture. We'll go all through that. If you want to believe Christ died on Friday, I'm good with that. I'm not upset with you. I'm not going to say anything. Give me the liberty to also show you that it happened on Wednesday. And I don't have time for that tonight. You know what I'm talking about, Mr. Preacher. Okay. We'll explain it to them later until I get off the hook, all right?
Yeah.
That just slipped out. I'm sorry. I apologize. That just slipped out. Christ was crucified by a world that loved him. Does that make any sense? He was crucified by a world that hated him. If he came back today, you know what they would do again? They'd crucify him all over again. Because they hate him. The world is of their father, the devil. We as Christians are our father, God Almighty. And the twain are not going to meet.
Right.
What concourse has light with darkness? What fellowship has light with darkness? And the world is going to hate. They tell a dirty joke and we frown or don't say anything. It upsets them. It irritates them. I was working one day back in the stock room, stocking stuff. And I'm just going away, and the supervisor walks over and says, and he just starts lambasting me. What makes you think you're so much better than I am? Why couldn't you think your kids are so great? What are you talking about? No idea. But he was sitting back here at his desk and just festering. I didn't say anything. I didn't accuse him of anything. I just, you know. I just say praise the Lord once in a while. Everybody knew where I went to church, including the boss. Everybody knew. And we ought not be arrogant. We ought not be deliberately antagonistic. But our mere presence ought to make evil doers uncomfortable, like salt in the eyes. Now, folks, that won't happen because you want it to happen.
Right.
That will only happen if you are living an authentic Christianity. It's the way we live, and it's the God that we believe in that upsets them. It's not the fact that I'm wearing a shirt and a tie.
Right.
Not the fact that you know, I can't come to over to your house on Sunday because I'm going to church.
That's right.
Not the fact I cannot attend the Christmas party at work. I can attend it, but it has to be on church time. I'm going then. I'm going to church, not going to the party. Unsavory salt, however, is useless. You see, salt itself needs to be protected. If you just took salt and left it in a pile outside, the monsoons come along, you're not going to have any salt worthwhile after that. The salt has to be protected. We have to be protected. Now, in the Bible days, salt was mined from salt cliffs or made from evaporating the seawater, you know, for example, from the Dead Sea or the Mediterranean Ocean, but it wasn't the chemical sodium chloride that you see so often today as table salt. But because it came from purely natural source, it would contain either mineral or vegetable content. Right? You know, when you mine something out of the earth, you know, you're gonna get some dirt in it too, you know.
Yes, sir.
There's gonna be a little bit of impurity in there. And exposed to the air or to the earth, that salt in those days would lose its savor. It would lose the very qualities that made it so valuable, the preserving effect, the poisoning effect. It would ruin those things, the cleansing effect. And so the salt had to be protected. We have to be protected. Christ said if it loses its savor, it would be thrown out. Thrown in the pasture, it's good for nothing. Couldn't put it in the field, it would damage the crop. Couldn't use it to preserve meat. So just throw it out where people would walk on it. It'd be useless. And Christians who come into too much contact with the world are in danger of losing their saving. Not their salvation, but their saving. So if you become too buddy-buddy with the world, you're going to lose your saving. You lose these qualities that God wants you to have so that you can be used by God and be a benefit to those around us. Now God uses several things to protect the Christian, but we have to avail ourselves of them. If you had a life-threatening disease and the doctor prescribed the cure, gave you medicine, and it was guaranteed 100%, it was going to cure you. How foolish would you be to go down to the pharmacy, buy it, set it on the shelf, and look at it every day and think, you know, that could cure me?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Well, if I would only take that, I would be healed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to die if I don't take that.
Right.
How foolish would you be? Just think about it. Kind of like Naaman. You mentioned Naaman the other day. The prophet said, go down to the River Jordan, dip seven times, be healed. And God, no, me, I'm not going to do that.
Yes, sir.
How foolish he was. Now, his servant's persuading him to go down and do it. I'm sure the first five times he did it. Like, this is crazy. Did it six times, this is stupid. I just got one to go. And he's healed. But if he wouldn't have dipped seven times, he wouldn't have gotten
healed.
He had to avail himself of the mechanism God was going to use to heal him. And we as Christians have several things that God wants to use to protect us, but we have to avail ourselves. First, God himself will protect us, but we must have faith in him. We have to trust the Lord. Church. Church is a big one. We need to be faithful to the house of God. Preaching. We need to actually listen. Consider the preaching. And the preacher says something that we don't get or don't like or don't enjoy. Basically, the question is, so what? Why don't we go to scriptures and see if he's right?
That's
the important thing. We need preaching. Our Bible, of course.
Yeah.
We need to be faithful to the Word of God. We need to be reading it regularly. This is nothing new here. Prayer. Absolutely, we need prayer.
Yes, we do.
God will use these things to protect us. And then there's one more thing, another tool that God gives us. It's a very strong tool, very strong fortress. It's a tower, high tower, if we exercise it. And that is avoidance. You know what I mean? Sounds exactly what it sounds like. You need to avoid some things, some people, and some places. If you go there, you're going to hurt yourself. You're setting yourself up for a fall. If you have problems with drinking, then let me advise you, never go to a bar again.
Right. Amen.
Those of you who never have been in a bar, good. Don't
good.
Ever go in
there. Go
there. Okay? People say they're going to say, well, how are you going to know if it's good or not if you don't experience? Folks, I don't have to jump out of a third-story window to know bad, something bad's going to happen.
That's right.
So you don't need to go to a bar to find out something bad's going to happen.
There we go.
Want to quit smoking? Then don't buy a pack of cigarettes and walk around with them. That preacher was saying, don't carry them. Don't be around them. You want to avoid pornography? Then you need to put some, what they call filters, on your computer. Then, gentlemen, why don't you just put your computer on the kitchen table where your wife can see it when she walks by?
Yeah.
That'll help filter some things out there.
Yeah.
Gossip? Then avoid gossip. You need to avoid people, places, or things that make it easy to sin. Folks, you know, if you hang around Pastor or Brother Wyatt or myself or some of these other godly men here, it'll be easy to go a whole day without swearing. You hang around some other men, maybe some men from work, it's not going to be so easy, is it?
No, it isn't.
Practice
it isn't.
Avoidance. Avoid, avoid, avoid. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. And we're just about finished. Proverbs chapter 4. I just got to say some of these things because I didn't get picked up by the major leagues. I'm going back to AAA ball after this. I'm going to
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 4, and verse number 13. Take fast hold of instructions, let her not go. Keep her, for she is like life. Enter not in the path of the wicked. That sounds like avoidance, doesn't it? Enter not thou in the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it! And you thought I was making that up, didn't you? Avoid it! Pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. Unless they cause some to fall. The wicked delights in getting a Christian to fall. And they are going to plan and connive in such subtle ways that you won't understand.
Right.
And we need to learn to. Sometimes there are just some people or places, you know, you can't put your finger on it. But it's just not exactly. Something's off. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I do then? Avoid. Avoid. Guys, if your wife tells you, you need to avoid her, not your wife, avoid another person. You don't have to ask her why. Wives have these antennas. And they know when there's, can I use the word hussy? They know when there's a hussy around.
There you go.
She says, don't spend time with her. And you know, we're talking about legitimate reasons, even at work, don't spend any extra time than you have to. And don't ever be in a room with the door closed. You know, don't ever be alone. And on, you know, we go into all that later. Just trust her. There are some people you need to avoid because they were going to bring you down. Now, are you a salty Christian? Or has your Christianity lost its savor? Another way, let me ask you that, another way of asking this is, is your Christianity we see at church authentic? Is what we see here at church the same we would see if we came to your workplace? Think about that, son. Is the Christianity we see here at church the same we would see at school? The same we would see at home? Big one. Is that the same Christianity we would see on vacation? Are you a salty Christian? Or has your salt lost its savor? It's not for me to say, just for me to propose the question. Are you a salty Christian? Or has your salt lost its savor? I want to give you an illustration. How many of you know that I have a salt shaker in my pocket?
Yeah.
I don't see any hands. I do. I preach that whole sermon with a salt shaker in my pocket. You want to lick it? Make sure it's salt. He would too. Salt. Why didn't you see it? Because I didn't write on the show.
Right.
It was hidden. Much like many Christians, they have the salt.
Right.
But it's not on display. Now, I'm not talking about a fake, phony, pharisaical, hey, look at me. I'm talking just living your life. You naturally live your life out. And, you know, even at work, among heathens sometimes, I'm going to just naturally say something good. I'm going to say, praise the Lord. I didn't plan it. It's just the way I talk. It comes out that way.
Yes,
sir. There's one other thing about salt. In a shaker. I had salt in my pocket. You didn't even know it. Why is it coming out? Oh, I have the salt. But there was something blocking the salt. In many of our lives, we have the salt, but it's not on display. In some of our lives, it's on display, but there's a sin going on between you and God, and it's not letting the salt come out. So, I ask you again. Is the Christianity I am observing in you at this moment the same Christianity I will see in you tomorrow morning at work or at school or at play or on vacation? You answer that question. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time. Lord, I don't know if it's helped anybody or not, but I pray that it was useful. Lord, it helped me to prepare, and I pray, God, that you would take this message and help people understand that it's not accusing anybody of anything. I'm just laying out scenarios. And I pray, Lord, that you, your Holy Spirit, would take what was spoken and use it to speak to the hearts of the people this night, including myself. Now, with our eyes closed, our heads bowed, this is the church family. But I'll ask you, are you absolutely positive if you die right now, you go to heaven? But you say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I know I've been born again. Heaven's my home. If that's your testimony, slip your hand up here and we'll rejoice with you. Wonderful. Lower your hands. Lower your hands. Anybody here tonight? That was everybody. If I could tell, lower your hands. I missed somebody. Somebody, you're having some struggles. You're not sure. How many would say, you lower your hands, please? And how many would say, preacher, I'm not positive if I was to die right now, I'd go to heaven. I have some concerns. Would you pray for me? We won't call upon you. We won't embarrass you, anybody at all. All right. Pretty much what I thought. Now, one last question is, could the Holy Spirit of God speak to you about anything at all during that message? And you want me, Brother Dawson, to pray for you. Anybody at all, God spoke to my heart, preacher. Oh, wonderful, all over the high. Okay, lower your hands. Anybody else, God spoke to me, slip your hand up real quick and down. Okay, wonderful, up there. Anyone else? Yes, yes, lots of hands going up. Did God speak to your heart tonight? Lower your hands.
Name of our church is Shining Light Baptist Church. Those verses are right in there. We've covered those verses before, talking about if we're going to be a shining light, and we have to have salt. We have to be salt and light. I know at times the salt is not what it needs to be, and other times it probably is what it needs to be, but we want to be consistent Christians. That's why we're always challenged, the Word of God. We can shine brighter. We can probably be saltier in our walk, in our ways. And perhaps there was something that you need to take notice of tonight. And we'll pray about those at the conclusion of the service, but perhaps you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar to visit with God, or perhaps just in the quiet of your own seat, do business with our Lord. Heads about, eyes are closed. No one looking around, let's just stand just for a moment. And you let God speak to your heart through the course of the invitation. The music is playing. We know we're going to go back to school this week, and we want to be salt. Say, preacher, I'm homeschooled. You want to be salt in your home. Or, preacher, I'm in a public school. You want to be salt in the public schools. Preacher, I'm in a university. You want to be salt in the university. Or, preacher, I'm in the community college. You want to be salt in the community college. Or, preacher, I'm a stay-at-home mom. You want to be salt as a stay-at-home mom. Or, preacher, I work around a bunch of executives and You want to be salt around the executive. A preacher, I do maintenance work. You want to be salt in your maintenance work. Preacher, I work with computers. It's just me and my computer. You want to be salt as you communicate through the internet. You want to be salt in what you see on the computer. You want to be salt in what you text and what you tweet. You want to be salt in how you converse with your mom and your dad. You want to be salt in how you deal with your wife and your husband. You want to be salt in how you deal with your coworkers. The Bible is clear, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Others need to see our saltiness. It does have a cleansing power, preserving power. It does bring out the best. Sometimes it can have a poisoning effect as well. It does need to be protected from certain things we just need to avoid and keep our saltiness. The Bible says it is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. And Jesus goes right into saying, "Ye are the light of the world." We want to be salt and we want to be light. We already know we're called Shining Light Baptist Church. That's a fitting name for us. But we also need to be salt. Salt of the earth. The people need to be able to see there's a difference in us. Say, preacher, well, I'm trying to be different, but no one is responding. Give them time. Give them time. Something unique about salt, once you put it in the food, you can't see that it's there. But you can sure taste it. It dissolves right into the food, but the flavor is there. How's our saltiness with friends, with family, in the community, with neighbors, with those that we see, with those we come in contact with? Are we the type of Christians that have a good taste? Say, preacher, some people don't like my saltiness. Not everyone will. But as long as God is pleased, as long as God is satisfied, as long as God is honored, then Jesus said that's what's necessary. How's your salt? Ladies, you'll be on display this Saturday. We'll have a host of other ladies coming in. And we want to shine as lights amongst these others that come in for Jesus, but we also want to be salty Christians. And show these other ladies what Christ-likeness is all about. Show these other young daughters what Christ-likeness is all about. We want to be salt to them that come. And they can sure say that they know the God of heaven. Father, thank you once again for the verse of Scripture that is, Lord, applicable to us, so close to shining our light, but salt of the earth. God, help us to take inventory of our saltiness. Perhaps there is a sin that's causing our saltiness not to be exposed. Perhaps there is something we need to work on. Perhaps there is something that we need to do to let our light shine and let our saltiness taste it. Well, whatever it is we need to do, whether it's confessing a sin of forgiveness or anger or bitterness or discontent, whatever it is we need to do, Lord, help us to confess that and let our saltiness be tasted amongst a world that needs to have more flavor. Well, we know if we live for Christ, then many will not like our saltiness. Many will be repulsed by it, then there will be those who will be thirsty for it, and they'll like the taste of our Christianity. Lord, I do pray that as we leave here today, we'll be a little bit more salty for Christ. We'll be a little bit more different than when we came in. Lord, those who are around us will say there's something different about you now. You seem a little bit more like Christ, and they'll know that we've been with you, Lord Jesus. Speak to each heart that's here, Lord. Envelop us with your love and help us, Lord, to shine as lights in the world and to be the salt of the earth. If we are not salty, then no one else can be salty for us. And so, Lord, I pray that you will bless in a marvelous and miraculous way, giving us what we have need of. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.